This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Productive Muslim Podcast, Season 4, Episode 3. Assalamu alaikum, Productive Muslims. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Mifra Marif, and here I am with our Q&A episode in which we get your questions that you have submitted to us and we get them answered by our experts and guests that we have on the show. So today I have with me Brother Muhammad Faris. So Muhammad, as you all know and as you all are familiar with, is our CEO of Productive Muslim, and he's just going to be on the call with me today to take your questions. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa barakatuh.
Are you ready for the questions?
Bismillah, let's do it.
All right. So I am going to play these questions and all right, let's get started. Okay, so the first question I have here is from Romana and she asks,
my problem is that I spend a lot of time planning and fantasizing about all these things, all these goals that I'm going to accomplish. And once I get down to doing them, I'll start like a little bit or half of it, and then I'll lose motivation and it'll never get done. Like, no matter what I try, so far, 80, 90% of the things that I start, I never finish. And I really dislike that about myself, and I just want to know, is there anything I could do that'll help me complete all the things that I start?
Okay, so that's a great question, Romana. So I guess the challenge there is that you're starting from the goals themselves instead of starting from what I call from just that kind of a bit higher end. Why are you choosing those specific goals? So for example, if I sometimes I set like 10 goals myself, but I know if these goals are not aligned to some of my long-term goals, half of them, although they'll drop off the, you know, I'll stop doing them halfway through because they're not aligned to what I ultimately want to achieve. So instead of falling that trap, what I recommend you to do is every 3 months, decide on what you'll do or what are your long-term goals for the next 3, 6, even one, up to 1 year, and align your goals to those 3, 6, 1 year goals. Your weekly goals, your 10-day goals, your monthly goals. And then every time you feel like you're about to give up, sometimes it's healthy to take a break from the goals you're doing, but put a reminder to come back to it as well. But every single time, the way I look at it is like pushing balls down the road, right? So sometimes you have like, you know, 10 balls that are on the road, and some of them will stop halfway through. Some of them you kind of keep on pushing. And sometimes you just have to stop pushing them and just take a break and then come back and slowly move them forward. Don't think of goals as like one sit down. I'm going to finish one goal in one sit down. Break it down to small chunks. Attack those tasks on a daily basis. Do like half an hour chunks, 90-minute chunks, 25-minute chunks. When you do that way, you'll be surprised how much you achieve from that goal. Just maybe I went a bit all over the place, but to summarize, number one, make sure your goals are connected to a higher purpose. Number two, and to long-term goals, not just short-term goals. Number two, break your goals. Sometimes it's okay to take breaks from your goals and come back in later. Number three, make sure that you divide your goals into small, easily sized chunks so that you can, you know, move them forward and they don't seem overwhelming. Like the joke says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So don't eat elephants, but do try to attack your goals easily. And by the way, it's okay to not pursue a goal. Don't feel you're bad. Don't feel you're a failure. Don't feel that, you know, why am I not reaching goals? It's okay. But as long as you make a conscious decision of why, you say, you know what, this goal is not for me now. Or you know what, I'm going to defer this goal for another time. Or you know what, it's not worth my time to do this goal. So it's okay, but as long as you know why, that's the key message. I hope that helps.
So I want to ask further on this. If you're struggling from that problem of not achieving any of the goals that you set for yourself, then would you say that the first step forward is to focus on one goal, or would you keep going on to multiple goals because you have multiple areas of life to, you know?
I would take a piece of paper and I write down all these goals that I'm trying to achieve, and then say to myself, which one of these is really important? Which three are so important for my life, for my long-term sort of, you know, personal growth and development, and to in life or business or my faith or any area of your life, which of these three are most important? And then I'll focus on those until I get them done. And then I'll come back to these this piece of paper on a regular basis. So what I normally do, so there's two things. I do a weekly review to look at sort of what I've achieved during the week and what's coming up in the horizon, and also connect that to my long-term goals. But also I do sometimes I do a quarterly review where I look back at how much I've achieved in the last quarter and how's that sitting in with the future, with the upcoming quarter as well. So just having this kind of these moments of stop, reflect, move forward, they help you stay focused. But the key message is not saying, okay, I have so many goals, I don't achieve them. It's say, well, A, why do you have these goals? What are they connected to? And are you regularly checking them to make sure that these are still relevant goals for you, given the stage of life you're in at the moment?
All right. And would you say that the time frame is minimum 6 months, or what were your thoughts on time frame, or there's not a particular?
So long-term goals, normally I suggest the longest you ever plan for is really 5 years, realistically. I mean, you can plan 20, 25, 30, and those are great to have, just have a 20-year view of your life. It's great to have, those are more aspirational, but realistic, like things that you can get done, 5 years is a good time frame. But so that's kind of like you say, 5 years, I should be here in these areas of my life. And therefore, you break it down to the 1 year. So 1 year from now, what do I need to be at to be on track to achieve this in 5 years' time, if you need that? And then divide by 6 months, and then divide by 3 months, and then divide it by monthly, then divide by weekly. So I'll start with 5 years, 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, and then monthly, then weekly. Those are the time frames that I would use if I'm getting up to 5 years. For example, memorize Quran is a good example. Yeah. Normally it takes 2 to 5 years to memorize Quran. So you can literally break that down. I got that 6 juz per year. Almost less than a juz per, six juz per year. And then so that means 3 juz in 6 months. That means it's sort of about 1 juz in about 2 months. And then it comes like half a page a day, right? So you broke down something that sounds too big and too hard into something very, very doable, very actionable. And that's very motivating, because every day let's say you do half a page, or you memorize a little bit of Quran, you realize I'm moving towards this big 5-year goal that I've set for myself, and you can see your progress. And progress is the best motivator. I think it's Romana, when you feel you're not making progress, if I'm feeling like, oh my God, half a page and I have a whole Quran to memorize, I would never move forward in my life. But if I think, you know, half a page, that's exactly how much I need to get done today, because if I do this consistently, then in 5 years, I would have memorized the Quran. It is very, very motivating from that perspective.
Yeah, that's true. And I also want to add further what has helped me when I would be struggling in this whole thing about, hey, I'm setting so many goals and I'm not finishing it, is like the importance of being around the right people as well. The environment, for example, if I were to take your example of Quran memorization and actually having like a weekly class to go to or something like that, because I know that has helped me personally, because it's like, even if I would slip off or like fall off my goal, it's just the mere act of showing up every week kind of motivates you and puts you back into action again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you think about it, that's what, Islam teaches us in terms of al-asr, you know, tawassul bil-haq, tawassul bil-sabr, that, you know, you join each other towards good, towards this truth, and you join each other to be patient. Patient on what? Patient on staying the straight path. A verse of the Quran that we are at, so the last 10 verses of Al-Imran, we recommend to recite every single night, every single morning when we wake up. And that last verse says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Like, oh, be patient, persevere, keep going. So it's like, Allah was giving that motivational push. If you want motivation, the Quran is saying, go for it, keep going, don't give up. But it's saying, it's used the word, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in a plural sense, oh, you who believe, like in a plural sense, not in a single person sense. So yes, definitely an environment of accountability, an environment of support, whether through mentors, through coaches, through friends, through family, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's so easy to be caught up alone, especially because we have all the technology and we have everything to be able to do it alone and nobody knows about it. But then when we have that, or at least somebody else doing it with you or a place to go to that it's done, then yeah, it makes a world of a difference in helping us achieve those goals.
Absolutely. And again, it comes down to this idea where if you think that you are self-sufficient, that can be a problem, because number one, at least you should acknowledge that you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support, help you, right? That's at the minimum. And even someone like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he needed the companions. The companions were an important part of him achieving his biggest goal, which is delivering the message of Islam. So we need people. It's not that we live this very highly individualized, highly independent lifestyles. We just don't need people. I can get things done on my own, but you need people. And first and foremost, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, give the guidance to achieve your goals.
Yeah. And on that, the thing with having people around you and not being by yourself, it's like when you're doing this by yourself, it's easy to get deluded in like two ways. Like you can be deluded thinking, oh, you're doing enough. Or you can also be deluded in a way that, oh, you're not doing it enough. Whereas if you were to see your progress compared to what other people are doing, then you're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. Or it can be like totally the opposite. So it's like just being able to see what other human beings are like capable of doing, it kind of gives you feedback on your own self.
Yep.
Yeah.
I go cycling every weekend. And one thing, if I go cycling alone, I am slow. Like I'm just like barely trudging along. Especially uphill cycling is a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
But it's funny, whenever we go in a pack, when we go like with friends and we're in a pack.
Cycling groups, they always go so fast.
It's like, wow. Fast because
how are they doing it?
It's setting a pace and you have to keep up. And it's like, you don't embarrass yourself by falling behind.
Oh, so, yeah, true. You have that. You want to save face.
Exactly. So you're like, oh my goodness, I have to keep up with these guys. So it's really helpful. And I think isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلَيْتَنَافَسَ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, that in that, that you know, people should compete. And you know that competition helps to keep you motivated and keep you going forward. Even sometimes competing against yourself. Like sometimes if I want to get myself, let's say I'm trying to wash dishes, I would set a timer for like 3 minutes. Like how many dishes can I get done in 3 minutes? And just something as simple as that will help me achieve a goal that otherwise would take me hours and I would be delaying it and procrastinating, because there's an element of competition, like gamifying it makes it really cool and fun to achieve basically.
Yeah, true. Fantastic. All right, so we'll move on to our next question that we have here. And this one is from Yasir. So I'll just play this and take it from there.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to ask if you guys can give some advice about mobility. A lot of us, we sit all day. Me personally, I go to the gym strength training 3 times a week for 2 hours, each day. And over time, we can have knots develop, and mobility-wise, a lot of us, we don't know what to do. So please advise about that if you can. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, pretty cool question. Again, yes, we do live sedentary lifestyles, and here's some bad news for you. The brother who asked.
I don't know if I'm ready for it.
I know. It says that if you sit down for 6.5 hours, which most of us minimally do, right? 6.5 hours.
I do way more than that.
Yeah. So if you sit down for 6.5 hours, then that negates 45 minutes of exercising in the gym. Like, if you go to the gym 45 minutes and you're really killing yourself in the gym, but then you go and sit in your office 6.5 hours, that negates all that exercise you've done. So that's a challenge. So what you need to do is you need to build in mobility and just movement within your day. But the key thing also remember is that you're not doing this for your body. A lot of us, we have this misconception that it's just for our bodies. It's not just for your body. It's actually for your brain. You think better. You act better. You become much more alert, much more... literally thinking on your feet. You know that term, think on your feet? You literally think on your feet. So a few things you could do. Number one, of course, try to have walking meetings. So if you have meetings with colleagues, especially, say, instead of going to the office and sitting down, say, hey, let's take a walk and let's talk about this issue. That helps a lot. Number two, course, walk to the masjid as much as possible. If this is a little bit far, cycle to the masjid. I mean, that's another cycling is that's pretty true. Cool. I started doing this recently, and it's really fun. And, you know, you really enjoy, you feel like great. I'm praying and I'm exercising. That's called layering, exercises. If you have the ability to get a standing desk for yourself, it really helps. If you can't get a standing desk, you cannot afford a standing desk, nowadays you can set up like cardboard boxes on your table and basically be able to stand it. But just put the laptop on top and maybe have a wireless keyboard or something at the bottom. And you basically have a standing desk. You can actually stand while you're working. I don't recommend to stand too long as well. So there's a thing about don't stand all day and don't sit all day. Sometimes setting a time on your phone. Every hour, just stand up and stretch. Every hour, just put a buzzer. Stand up and stretch. It makes a difference. And you know, take the stairs whenever you can. Park your car further away from the masjid or from your yeah. office, or from the store that you want to go to. Avoid and just basically play with your children. Right, kids are amazing. They have incredible amount of energy. Running after them is a great workout. Tired. So take them to the parks, instead of them sitting down with video games at home, take them to a park, take them somewhere and just walk and run and along with them. So again, build in movement. Just think of small ways. Don't think of the big, like 2 hours. 2 hours of gym is a long time, by the way. Mm-hmm. I would recommend you think about the time investment. If you want to put it into, kind of break it down for smaller investments throughout the day. That's how you'll keep yourself mobile, and mobile not just for your body but for your brain, and you'll see that you'll become more energetic generally than just sitting for so long. The saying now is that sitting is the new smoking. That's how bad it's got in terms of the health effects of sitting down for so long.
That's so true. You know, I was reading this article in which it was talking about food, and it was talking about a lot of us these days don't want to eat well because of the benefit it gives to our bodies. Rather, we want to eat well because of our brain. It's like eating for your brain. So in the same way, I mean, if instead of seeing exercise as just working at our bodies, it can be it's exercise for our brain.
Yeah.
Because essentially, like a lot of our jobs and our careers depend on our brain pretty much.
Yeah.
Because it's all knowledge work, so...
Absolutely. And again, the studies around this is incredible in terms of memory, information processing, decision making. If you notice top CEOs around the world, you know, you see someone who's like 70 years old and he's running on a treadmill. You think this guy has all the money. He has all this staff around him. Why is he killing himself on a treadmill? And it's not for his health. Literally, he'd say this is because it helps me make better decisions. People generally, I mean, I can see it myself, whether if I'm helps you manage stress as well. A lot of our work is very stressful these days, trying to keep up with the pressures of 24-hour, work. And now movement helps you manage that. And think about that on your personal brand, in your corporate career. If you're the someone who's sharp, who's thinking on his feet, who was very, quick on to think, that's personal branding. You get promoted much more quicker than if you're the person who just sits all day, who slouches all day. From a personal branding perspective, I mean, if you had two people to hire, someone who has sitting well, exercises, runs, and you feel this guy is like active, thick on his feet, whereas someone who's just like slouching, sitting all day and just like...
Yeah, they bring that energy with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So who would you hire? I mean, you'd hire the first one because you'd say, hey, this guy is like upbeat and, someone who can handle more work and more perhaps move up as well.
Yeah. And the exercising thing, it reminds me of, sometimes I'd be struggling with like a problem in a project, and it's like just going for a walk or like going to walk to go and pray. Alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful that we have prayer because that like breaks that routine, or else I'd be one of those couch potato office people sitting from 9 to 5. I am an absolute workaholic. So
absolutely.
The only thing that breaks me always like prayer. Even lunch, I'd probably eat on my desk. So
if anyone
like listening to this can relate, then yeah.
absolutely.
But it actually helps you work better. You come back and you can solve that problem that you were stuck on for like so many hours.
Yeah.
Just by getting that walk in.
Your unconscious mind. So one thing our brains hate incomplete tasks. So whenever let's say you work on a task and then you're like, I got to take a break for Salah, for example, right? And you know that annoying feel like, I wish I could sit 10 more minutes and I could finish this, but a lot of time you got to move. And you do move, your brain's still thinking about it. It's still trying to solve it, trying to improve it. So when you come back, it really buzzes. Like you have a lot of creative ideas. So One thing like I do when I write articles, sometimes I write an article, but I don't finish it. I'll go come back next day and 10, like 9 out of 10.
And all these ideas just come.
Come, and you have so many other connections, and the quality just jumps tenfold because you kind of took that break. It's got, you know, when I think Adam Grant in his book, The Originals, mentioned it as about the idea of procrastination, but really saying this is like, this is not procrastination. It's more like you consciously deciding to stop yourself coming back a few hours later or next day, or maybe sometimes a few weeks, and you have a completely new perspective, and the quality of your creativity goes up by a lot. Start fast, finish slow. I mean, this connects to the first question about setting up goals, which is, like I said, if your goal is important, sometimes you can start fast, but don't be shy to take a break from them, but then come back to them again with a fresh perspective. It might help you see things from a completely new perspective as well.
Yeah, that's so true, because it seems like there's this this misconception that if you work harder at a problem, you'll somehow like you work harder, you work longer. It's just, you're going to solve it. But then like when you go back and you look at the science of learning, you see that there's two different modes of our brain. There's like the focused mode and then there's the diffuse mode. So diffuse mode is only activated when you sleep or you go for a walk.
Absolutely.
So it would actually be more productive if you were to like take a nap on your desk than keep working.
Yeah.
Although again, that looks really bad.
It's counterintuitive.
It's so true.
You look, for example, I mean, I know sometimes I have to remind myself, even though I teach this stuff, but I have to remind myself, like, I'm going to take a break now, come back this later. But deep down, again,
so tempting.
I just want to get it done. I just want to ship it off. I just want to forget about this. But like, I know the quality much better. The content of it is take a break, come back later. And every single time I do that, it helps a lot. So it is hard because it's counterintuitive. And like I said, your brain hates incomplete tasks because it'll keep nagging you to complete this. It's like having an open loop and never really closing it.
Yeah. But then that trick won't exactly work if you're taking a break and you're looking at your phone, because then you're focusing on something else.
I mean, some people say distracting yourself generally helps, but of course there are qualitative distraction. Like,
yeah, but it depends on what distraction. Exactly. Because then you're like focused on your phone, so then you forget about the first problem.
could be. Or like I said, but it's still like the quality of describe, for example, napping, praying.
Yeah, napping helps. Praying definitely. Every problem is solved.
Family, and spending quality time with your children and your family and your spouse.
Yeah.
All these things help you take your mind off sort of whatever problem you're working with.
Relaxing activities.
Check email and come back. You're still in work mode. You want something that's complete context. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so amazing how like all these things about productivity is like so like what you least expect is like, oh, you get more done by working less.
Yep. I think it's the title of a book, actually. Work More by Doing Less. I guess that's a book title like somewhere.
Work more, have fun more. Yeah, that'll be awesome. All right. So these are this is all the questions we have time for, actually. So we'll have to wrap up today's episode. So thank you again for coming on.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
Yeah. Inshallah, we will see you again soon then. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Don't forget. Woke up with the light, a sky so blue above me.